Topic 29. Juggling the Real World. John F. Kennedy once said, "Things don't just happen, they are made to happen." In the old days, when your authors still had their boyish good looks, computers were not particularly flexible. We typically organized the way we interacted with them based on their limitations. Today, we expect more. Computers have to integrate into our world, not the other way around. And our world is messy. Things are constantly happening, stuff gets moved around, we change our minds. And the applications we write somehow have to work out what to do. This section is all about writing these responsive applications. We'll start off with the concept of an event. An event represents the availability of information. It might come from the outside world, a user clicking a button or a stock quote update. It might be internal. The result of a calculation is ready. A search finishes. It can even be something as trivial as fetching the next element in a list. Whatever the source, if we write applications that respond to events and adjust what they do based on those events, those applications will work better in the real world. Their users will find them to be more interactive, and the applications themselves will make better use of resources. But how can we write these kinds of applications? Without some kind of strategy, we'll quickly find ourselves confused, and our applications will be a mess of tightly coupled code. Let's look at four strategies that help. 1. Finite state machines, 2. The observer pattern, 3. Publish-subscribe, 4. Reactive programming and streams. Finite state machines. Dave finds that he writes code using a finite state machine, FSM, just about every week. Quite often, the FSM implementation will be just a couple of lines of code, but those few lines help untangle a whole lot of potential mess. Using an FSM is trivially easy, and yet many developers shy away from them. There seems to be a belief that they are difficult, or that they only apply if you're working with hardware, or that you need to use some hard-to-understand library. None of these are true. The anatomy of a pragmatic FSM. A state machine is basically just a specification of how to handle events. It consists of a set of states, one of which is the current state. For each state, we list the events that are significant to that state. For each of those events, we define the new current state of the system. For example, we may be receiving multi-part messages from a WebSocket. The first message is a header. This is followed by any number of data messages, followed by a trailing message. This could be represented as an FSM using a diagram where states are drawn as circles, with arrows between them representing the change of state when a particular event occurs. We start in the initial state. If we receive a header message, we transition to the reading message state. If we receive anything else while we're in the initial state, we transition to the error state, and we're done. While we're in the reading message state, we can accept either data messages, in which case we continue reading in the same state, or we can accept a trailer message, which transitions us to the done state. Anything else causes a transition to the error state. The neat thing about FSMs is that we can express them purely as data. Our message handling FSM could be implemented as a table. The rows would correspond to the two states, and the four columns represent the events. To find out what to do when an event occurs, look up the row for the current state, scan along for the column representing the event. The contents of that cell are the new state. The code that handles it is equally simple. It's basically just a table lookup. Adding actions. A pure FSM, such as the one we were just looking at, is an event stream parser. Its only output is the final state. We can beef it up by adding actions that are triggered on certain transitions. For example, we might need to extract all of the strings in a source file. A string is text between quotes, but a backslash in a string escapes the next character. To do this in an FSM, we'd simply add an action field to each transition. Actions could include things such as start new string, add current character to string, and so on. Again, the implementation can be table-driven. If you want to see the code for this, have a look at the file strings_fsm.rb in the events directory of the code download. There are many variants of this approach. The transition table could use anonymous functions or function pointers for the actions. You could wrap the code that implements the state machine in a separate class with its own state, and so on. There's nothing to say that you have to process all the state transitions at the same time. If you're going through the steps to sign up a user on your app, there's likely to be a number of transitions as they enter their details, validate their email, agree to the 107 different legislated warnings that online apps must now give, and so on. Keeping the state in external storage, and using it to drive a state machine, is a great way to handle these kind of workflow requirements. State machines are a start. State machines are underused by developers, and we'd like to encourage you to look for opportunities to apply them. But they don't solve all the problems associated with events. So let's move on to some other ways of looking at the problems of juggling events. The observer pattern. In the observer pattern, we have a source of events called the observable and a list of clients, the observers, who are interested in those events. An observer registers its interest with the observable, typically by passing a reference to a function to be called. Subsequently, when the event occurs, the observable iterates down its list of observers and calls the function that each passed it. The event is given as a parameter to that call. You can download a simple implementation in the file event-observer.rb. There's not much code involved in creating an observable. You push a function reference onto a list, and then call those functions when the event occurs. This is a good example of when not to use a library. The observer-observable pattern has been used for decades, and it has served us well. It is particularly prevalent in user interface systems, where the callbacks are used to inform the application that some interaction has occurred. But the observer pattern has a problem. Because each of the observers has to register with the observable, it introduces coupling. In addition, because in the typical implementation the callbacks are handled inline by the observable, synchronously, it can introduce performance bottlenecks. This is solved by the next strategy, publish-subscribe. Publish-subscribe, PubSub, generalizes the observer pattern, at the same time solving the problems of coupling and performance. In the PubSub model, we have publishers and subscribers. These are connected via channels. The channels are implemented in a separate body of code, sometimes a library, sometimes a process, and sometimes a distributed infrastructure. All this implementation detail is hidden from your code. Every channel has a name. Subscribers register interest in one or more of these named channels, and publishers write events to them. Unlike the observer pattern, the communication between the publisher and subscriber is handled outside your code and is potentially asynchronous. Although you could implement a very basic pub/sub system yourself, you probably don't want to. Most cloud service providers have pub/sub offerings, allowing you to connect applications around the world. Every popular language will have at least one pub/sub library. PubSub is a good technology for decoupling the handling of asynchronous events. It allows code to be added and replaced, potentially while the application is running, without altering existing code. The downside is that it can be hard to see what is going on in a system that uses PubSub heavily. You can't look at a publisher and immediately see which subscribers are involved with a particular message. Compared to the observer pattern, PubSub is a great example of reducing coupling by abstracting up through a shared interface, the channel. However, it is still basically just a message-passing system. Creating systems that respond to combinations of events will need more than this. So let's look at ways we can add a time dimension to event processing. reactive programming, streams, and events. If you've ever used a spreadsheet, then you'll be familiar with reactive programming. If a cell contains a formula which refers to a second cell, then updating that second cell causes the first to update as well. The values react as the values they use change. In the realm of the browser, React and Vue.js are current favorites. But this being JavaScript, this information will be out of date by the time you hear this. It's clear that events can also be used to trigger reactions in code, but it isn't necessarily easy to plumb them in. That's where streams come in. Streams let us treat events as if they were a collection of data. It's as if we had a list of events which got longer when new events arrive. The beauty of that is that we can treat streams just like any other collection. We can manipulate, combine, filter, and do all the other data-ish things we know so well. We can even combine event streams and regular collections. And streams can be asynchronous, which means your code gets the opportunity to respond to events as they arrive. The current de facto baseline for reactive event handling is defined on the site reactivex.io, which defines a language-agnostic set of principles and documents some common implementations. At this point, the printed book has lots of code and diagrams showing how stream can be processed in parallel, and how they can be used to synchronize events. You can download the code and see for yourself in the directory event/rx1. Streams are a very powerful abstraction. We no longer need to think about time as being something we have to manage. Event streams unify synchronous and asynchronous processing behind a common, convenient API. Events are ubiquitous. Some are obvious, a button click, a timer expiring. Others are less so, someone logging in, a line in a file matching a pattern. Whatever their source, code that's crafted around events can be more responsive and better decoupled than its more linear counterpart.